Hello and welcome back to a special edition of the Soapbox podcast. And we are here, and it's probably not going to be the longest one in the world, but settle in because we're going to unpack what my dad, Darren, is learning over in the US. What are you doing in the United States?
Yes, well, I flew over last week into San Francisco, 13 hours, flew backwards into Thursday, of course, and then flew again down from San Francisco to Tennessee, Nashville Airport, country western capital of the USA, also in the Bible Belt of the USA, and came to a university. University is a church university. I came to participate in Intergenerate International, which is a gathering of practitioners and researchers and those that cover the theory to discuss all things intergenerational. So there's 150 of us here and from all different denominations meeting together and hearing plenaries and hearing papers and hearing workshops and discussing all things to do with intergenerational relationships and how it relates to the church and why it's necessary for the church.
That sounds like a wonderful event to be at. And for context, you are a part of Intergenerate in Australia, which has a whole heap of conferences coming up. So if you jump online to the website and you're interested in the subject matter that we're going to speak about, similar stuff will be spoken about at each of those conferences in a capital city near you. Just a little bit of a side plug, because if you're a New South Wales local, there's one in Sydney on the 24th of August, which you should get to. So intergenerational ministry is the main focus of the conference that you're at. In a nutshell, in just a couple of moments, what were your highlights from day one of the conference?
Yes. So it's just so you're aware, it's 10 o'clock at night here. So the first day has finished. It was an afternoon session, started at 3 p.m. Nashville time and finished about an hour ago. So I got up again early in the morning for a full day. We've got breakfast affinity groups first up at 7:30 a.m. So I need to get to bed shortly. But I'm going to run through my highlights of the presentations and some implications and questions to ponder. And we'll try and do this each night if we can, or day over there, and there'll be obviously a three-part or four-part series that will go up as podcasts. So first off today, we actually had an Australian talking, and that was Tammy Preston. Tammy is on the team for Intergenerate Australia, which I'm a part of, and she's doing a PhD currently through Cardiff University in Britain under Mark Griffiths, who is a really, well-known presenter in children's ministries and in intergenerational ministries. So he is supervising Tammy in her work. And, she really got the conference off to a great start. She made five main points which we need to ponder. She said, number one, belonging matters. And said, when you think about doing church and whatever you do in church when it comes to your programs, ministry and mission, always head in the direction that creates connection, that creates community. So is it belonging matters, not just for us, but for every age and every stage of life, from the youngest to the oldest. So how do you create connection and how do you create belonging in your congregation is question number one. Number two, she said, growing together in discipleship is vital. Now, hear that. Often we see discipleship as an individual thing, which is a program or something we do individually. But she says growing together, that is, we do it, discipleship happens when we are together in an intergenerational mix. Growing together in God's kingdom is key. So that's sort of a bit of a paradigm shift that we really need to think about. It's sort of been there, but we often see it as more individual than together. Then number three, she said, change is inevitable. We need to be open to pivot at any time, and COVID proved that.
Absolutely.
And I guess what concerns me is that churches have been quick to try and return to what they see as normal rather than realizing that the church has changed, we know the world has changed, you know, and you think of what the new normal looks like. And she said that change is inevitable and we need to be open to pivot at any time. God leads, and we need respect leadership that can guide and facilitate that change with God's leading. Number four, she said, there are environments that help this to happen, and we are not afraid to do anything to build connection with each other and with God. She said, choose God over comfort. So once again, we need to constantly create those environments that build that connection and be prepared to be uncomfortable if it means building connection and growing better together. And number five, she said, regard mutuality and collaboration as very important. That's from the youngest to the oldest. So they were the five main points I took from her presentation.
Awesome. I think there's a lot of stuff we've already spoken about before, kind of in that as well, but I really love particularly all of them, but particularly three, four, and five. Three in that we've been looking at in our podcast recently, at the need to consider flow. By that I mean the need to consider what your church is, what the perception is like when you arrive, and more than that, embrace what we did during COVID. Like, allow us to continue pivoting. And I think, I don't know whether Tammy raised this, but COVID proved that it is possible.
Yes.
To pivot, yes. And to pivot quickly.
Yes, and most churches had to pivot quickly. And so I guess it proved that change can happen, and we can change when we're forced to. Mm. And so often we're very resistant to change, but when we're forced, we can change and adapt. So be prepared to be uncomfortable, to build that connection, to build that warmth, to build belonging, to build community, and do discipleship together.
I find point five a very Australian point of Tammy to make. Mutuality and collaboration is very important because those two things aren't just a part of intergenerational ministry. They're a part of our culture in Australia. Yes. We're not meant to be, and we haven't been in the past, an individualistic culture. Whereas I wonder how that idea would be countercultural for many of the people that are at the conference listening to it. Because that's probably a really tough thing for many people to actually do.
That's right, very much a me generation is what I get out of it, rather than realizing it's what we do together and the mutuality from the youngest to the oldest that's important there. And so, yeah, I want to move on quickly now to Valerie Grissom. Valerie Grissom is, I think it's from Minnesota. She's more of a practitioner, but she's got a young family, so what she presented was really important to her. But she made some points that really made me sit back and think. And I'm going to quickly go to a quote, which is in a photo I took of the quote. And so her talk was based around the fact that worship is participation, which is, when you think about it, that's pretty deep. Worship, we only worship when we are participating. James B. Torrance, in the book Worship, Community, and the Triune God and Grace, says worship is the gift of participating through the Spirit in the incarnate Son's communion with the Father, and lifts us up out of ourselves to participate in the very life and communion of the Godhead, that life of communion for which we were created. And so that's sort of the premise upon which she bases all that her talk is about. But basically, the overall theory of it is that participation, when we all participate from the youngest to the oldest in worship, is where actual true worship occurs. Mm. And she made three points in her presentation. What does it mean to do worship, church? It's not just about the bells and whistles. And when you look at Growing Young book, that says the same thing when it comes to intergenerational growing young, growing together. It's not about your worship style or having all the bells and whistles. but it is as participation. And so her son came home. It was an old church. Went to a small church, nothing really about it. But because the kids were together and they were felt like they were involved, participating, they said, we want to go back to that church.
I love it.
Despite it not having contemporary worship, they were allowed to ring the bells, they were allowed to participate in the story, allowed to be involved in the worship. So she said, number one, worship is a gift to participating, and all ages participating is doing God's story. So they're all involved in doing God's story. Often we see God's story as just the expert from the front and the preaching head. As I often we set our churches up as waiting rooms. You think about a doctor's waiting room, you think about an airport lounge. Often we're set up like a waiting room rather than as a lounge room. And the idea of a lounge room is that you're around tables, you're in couches and circles, you're more in connection rather than just looking at a talking head performing from the front. That's a challenge to me as a pastor who enjoys preaching. So how do we encourage participation in all that we do? And number two, she said, participation, we need to participate in authentic relational dialogue. Often it's a one-way dialogue, but when there's relational dialogue together, we participate in worship. It's not about performance, but relationship and authenticity. And yeah, she said that her children felt like they were involved. The children were all involved in communion as well, and participating in the. And number three, she said, was participation in the sharing of gifts, which is mission. Service, participate in the life of God. Pardon.
Service, yeah. Really.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, service. She said this: to participate in the life of God is to participate in the mission of God, which I loved and highlighted that one as well. Then she concluded with, performance and passivity threaten participation and worship. So she says, true worship is found when we participate, and we don't worship authentically unless we are participating. That includes the youngest to the oldest in intergenerational connection.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a quote that you sent through as well, which is one I've already heard multiple times, from the Heiss family particularly. It's from Robert Weber. And Lyle Heiss, who's a bit of an expert in worship, was always quoting from Robert Weber's work. And I know Leighton, he shared this quote at Big Camp, but it's, worship is a narrative. God's narrative of the world from its beginning to its end, and how will we know the world? How will the world know its own story unless we do that story in public worship? And that's particularly, I think it was speaking in the context of like Anglican High Church, and the fact that they do the whole, every single Sabbath, as boring as it is, they do the whole story in their worship service and participate in it. And not that we have to do that as Adventists, we're not high church, but I think there's something we can learn from that, which is every single week, our church service, the whole service, not just the sermon, should tell a story. And when you tell a story, every single age can participate and partake in that.
It's just spot on, Andrew. And yeah, thanks for bringing that quote in there. I did send you some of the quotes as well. But yes, the idea of story is intergenerational. And the Bible, God chooses to communicate with us through story in the Bible. And often we've turned into a set of fundamental beliefs rather than allowing it to exist in story. So, yes, very interesting.
Who was next?
Then we had, then next was J.P. Conway. He's a local here in Tennessee. He's a lecturer at Nashville, also runs his own church. And he brought in the idea, in my opinion, basically the spirituality of play and doing life together. He runs a Wednesday afternoon group and everyone's welcome. They started sitting outside during COVID to comply with the COVID rules here in Nashville, and they've kept on sitting outside, and the idea of everyone participating in playing some simple games, and even if it's just playing down ball or other things that are similar, and bringing in spiritual implications out of that as well. But he looked at the idea of the play as a spiritual practice and playing together. And when you look at Jesus in the Bible, again, he spent a lot of time in play. There's a spirituality around that. So he's growing a whole group around the idea of play, basically. So that was important. Then we had our Adventist own Dr. Steve Case. Now, for those that know me, you know that I'm also the balloon man. It was Dr. Steve Case that taught my very first balloon 27 years ago. And that's inspired a whole ministry based on him. He's very big in youth ministry, but he's now the leader of the intergenerational cohort at Andrews. The first cohort's about to finish, and the new one starting next year in March. And so Andrews University is one of the sponsors of this program. They have a table here. Harvest Williams is here. She's in charge of the deeming program at Andrews. And I was with no Harvest. She said today she's been to Australia 26 times. So I said, you almost are Australian. We need to give you an honorary Australian passport almost. And she laughed at that. But yeah, a lot of people in Australia know and love Harvest and know and love Steve Case. He's done a lot of work in youth institute and youth training. And you've been to his training, Andrew, I know.
Yeah, I was using one of his books this morning in small group, probably about the time he'd finished speaking.
Yes, okay.
And our small group at our church is transferring over to one of his very intergenerational books that he's written in guiding a small group. So he's an expert. What did he have to say?
Yeah, well, he's seen as an expert in this context. And he did a presentation on intergenerational missions. And the idea often it's, he said that most people that go on mission trips, fly and build short-term mission trips, are either older, senior and retired and can afford it, or they're youth. And they afford it by fundraising and getting some of the oldies to donate towards their trip. And he was given the task of raising the intergenerational mix in short-term mission trips. And so he created... ways that families can go together on mission trips. And he looked at keeping it simple. He uses KISS in reverse. It's basically keep it short, keep it simple, keep your mission trip intense, the idea of people living together for an intense. Period of time. And then the last is kicker. When you do a short-term mission trip, it kicks you in the seat of the pants and takes you out of your comfort zone. So he believes that that is an intergenerational mix. And he takes families, mum, dad, and the kids on mission trips. And we all know that spirituality and discipleship grows in amazing ways when people serve. And so he looked at the idea of kids' day camps and taking some of those philosophies to help take families over. And so he said when kids go across, they do some work, they do some play, they do some outreach, and they do some involvement in the local culture as well. And he found that was key to growing the intergenerational togetherness on short-term mission trips. And then they debriefed it through group worships in the mornings and the evenings. So that was his presentation.
Love it. And I think in Australia we could apply that very easily and cheaply. Because we're not like America, we don't have South America at our doorstep. But what we could do is run some family storm codes.
There's been talk of that for a long time, Andrew, but it hasn't really got off the ground. And maybe it's time to launch that.
And, yeah.
The idea that mum, dad and the kids go out and do storm codes. Maybe it's three or four families that go out and serve together and are involved in a family storm code. The storm code philosophy is powerful. And I think it'd be very easily could be applied to what Steve Case is promoting.
And I do remember when Steve was in Australia and I was sitting in that, he gave me a similar presentation showing us what he was doing And we all said we could do that with Storm Coast, but none of us have ever actually done it. But I do think that it is something that maybe we could actually apply quite easily.
Yes. So basically his idea was bringing intergenerationality to mission and grow your kids' faith exponentially. So that sort of finished off the whole afternoon. So that's the beginning. We've got a lot more to happen in the next couple of days. And then after the conference, Dr. Steve Case is getting the Adventists together. There's Adventists from PNG. There's Adventists here from Australia, of course, and there's Adventists from Hong Kong that have come.
Mm-hmm.
One Hong Kong conference has brought the whole conference team basically across here. One of the Hong Kong team is doing the international cohort. So they're here. So there's quite a contingent of Adventists here in the audience and some involved in presentations as well. So, yes, it's really good to see that the intergenerational idea and intergenerate is really starting to catch on over here in the US and indeed across the world, and it only bodes well for the Adventist Church, I believe, going forward.
Absolutely. And I look forward to seeing the outcomes from that as well. It will also be great to really unpack what Adventist churches are doing well in this space, because I think there's also a lot of learning that maybe we can unpack from overall what's happening. But over the next couple of days, there'll be a lot more information that you're going to be taking in. So I look forward to unpacking all the different things that you are learning. And for everyone that's listening, we will be back again at a similar time tomorrow.
Yeah, then I'm going to go to bed. So I'm up bright and early for day two. And you enjoy your afternoon there in Australia, Andrew.
Will do. See you soon.
Bye.